So I was sitting there getting ready to listen to the song that we just sang from Roger, and I happened to look at Denny's bulletin, who was sitting there, and I just come up with all this. Today is the Torah portion, Terumah, which means heave offering, and it talks about the building of the tabernacle, the way to God. And the way to God is through the tabernacle to get eternal life, through Yeshua, of course, but this is the way he taught them to do that at the beginning. And so then I was looking at the rest of the bulletin, and today is the sixth day and the 12th month of Adar. So 6 and 12 is 18, which is the Hebrew number for life. But then I looked at the American date, the English date, and it's February 16th, which is 2/16, which is 18 also. So today is a real day of life, a day of eternal life for all of us, right? I mean, I just come up with that while you were singing. Okay, the banquet is ready. The bridegroom is coming. We need wedding garments. You have your wedding garments, do you? Many believers teach about the bride of Messiah and our coming wedding, but two important points are usually left out. New Jerusalem is said to be the bride of the Lamb. We are called to be her watchmen. Moreover, we are called to be one with her. Therefore, we cannot logically leave out New Jerusalem, nor our call to protect her out of our bride theories. Think about Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Isaiah 62 and Revelation 21. In addition to this point is the fact that Messiah Yeshua warned that we will not be allowed to stay at the wedding if we don't have the right clothes on. Thus, we might say that our dress code here on earth will have much to do with this coming wedding. Our required clothing is described in one of Yeshua's parables. It's in Matthew 22. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention. And they went their own way, one to his farm, another to his business, and the rest seized the slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to the slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find them there, invite them to the wedding feast. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said, friend, had you come in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. So our Messiah compares the kingdom of God to a wedding feast. In his parable, the king's servants were told to go out into the highways and invite whoever they could find. And they found attendees, and they found both evil people and good ones. But then when the king came to visit with the dinner guests, he came upon one who wasn't dressed properly. When questioned about how he had gained an entrance, the man was speechless, and the king had him thrown out into the outer darkness. So this parable kind of describes the state we are now in. The wedding has not yet begun. The Messiah's servants are busy inviting whomsoever they can find to come to the feast. And the guests among them, whom we all must wait, consist of both evil and good. The Greek word translated evil or bad speaks of hurtful influence, degeneration of character, working mischief, malice, wickedness. Even so, there are some among those who wait the marriage supper of the Lamb who work evil and they're not properly dressed. but rest assured that they will one day be silenced by the Master. Our God wants His children to be appropriately clothed. We see His concern for how we are arrayed in that Adam and Eve sinned. He made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and He clothed them, according to Genesis 3:21. The first mention of clothing in Scripture reveals that our sin must be covered, and that our God is the one who offers us that covering. That clothing comes from God, not JCPenney. We again see the Holy One addressing clothing in Exodus chapter 28, which is next week's portion, isn't it? There, He gave detailed instructions about how His priests were to be dressed. Their clothes were called kadosh, or holy garments. Each item that they wore had a special meaning, one article being an ephod, which the high priest was to wear when he appeared before God in the Holy of Holies. His breastplate had 12 engraved stones on it, set in one for each of Israel's tribes. One on each shoulder of the prescribed garment was a place, a single stone, each one engraved with the names of six of Israel's tribes. As believers in Messiah, we are called to be a kingdom of priests. Like the priests of old, we are called to minister to our God, according to 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. The priest's breastplate teaches us how to do that, but it depicts the truth that concern for the well-being of all 12 tribes must always be on our hearts. We cannot choose only one tribe. We have to insist and realize that we are a nation of many different tribes or groups. We are Jews and Gentiles. We are together, and we are being called to a holy reunion. And now we must stand as intercessors before the Lord, ever reminding Him of His beloved nation. As members of Messiah's body, the burden of the restoration of all Israel rests squarely on our shoulders. To have a lesser attitude indicates that we are not properly dressed. The Holy One promised that He would one day clothe the priests of Zion with salvation. Messiah Yeshua is our salvation. That's His name. Isaiah said of Him, "I will rejoice greatly in God. My soul will exalt in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." Isaiah 61:10. Our God wants to wrap us in beautiful robes of righteousness to even adorn us as a bride. So when we are immersed into Messiah or baptized or mikvahed, we are clothed with the Messiah, according to Galatians 3:27. We buy from Him without cost white garments to cover our nakedness. We are then called to walk with Him dressed in white robes. The Word reveals that it is given to us to be clothed in fine linen, bright and clean, for fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints, according to Revelation. How can we know if we're actually dressed in fine linen? After all, there are many opinions among believers and about what constitutes righteous acts. We hear this all the time from people. So the answer to our story is suggested in the story of Queen Esther. Knew I was getting to that. Had to. In Esther chapter 1 and 2, we read that Queen Vashti refused to appear before King Ahasuerus. Everybody say that. Three times fast. He said tight. So his attendants advised that he replace her, and that beautiful young virgins besought for him to choose from. During the same time, a Jew named Mordecai was bringing up Hadassah, or Esther, we call her, his uncle's daughter, because she had no father or mother, so the uncle was raising her. Esther was very beautiful, and in response to the king's decree, Mordecai took her to the citadel of Susa and gave her into the custody of the king's eunuch, Haggai. Esther soon found favor with Haggai, the king's assistant and personal helper. She didn't even get a yay or a boo. Each of the young virgins that had been gathered from all over the land went through 12 months of beautification, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with spices and cosmetics. Wow. Each young lady would go into the king in this way. Anything that she desired was given to her to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. In the evening, she would go in, and in the morning, she would return to the second harem, and she would not again go to the king unless the king delighted in her and she was summoned by name. However, when Esther's turn came to go into the king, she did not request anything except what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the women, advised. She listened to her. Thus, Esther found favor in the eyes of all who saw her. When she appeared before the king, he loved her more than all the women, and he set the royal crown on her head, and he made her queen. What point do we need to see in this story? When the turn came for Esther to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her, according to chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. We too serve a king who is looking for a bride who will follow his commandments. And he similarly has a helper. Who is that helper? It's called the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And he well knows what pleases our king. He can tell you what pleases our king. Messiah Yeshua said of him, this is in John 14, 15, and 16, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you your remembrance of all that I said to you. And when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from my Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Esther allowed the king's helper to choose how she would be clothed, and she was thus empowered to please the king. She caught his eye because the king's helper knew what the king liked. And he graciously advised the one virgin who sought his counsel about how to dress herself. We got to be like Esther if we're to catch the eye of our king and bring him pleasure. The Ruach HaKodesh must be the one who chooses how we are to be clothed. It is he who must lead us in our search for the robes of righteousness. Esther's appearance on the scene resulted in the salvation of the Jewish people of her day. So it will be for a returning virgin Israel that is wise enough to allow the Ruach to choose her garments. It says that in Jeremiah 31 and Zechariah 10. The problem is, in Esther's day, was that all the virgins in the land had their own ideas about how they should be clothed for the king, which ultimately led to the dismissal. Guess what? The same is true today. There's many people who have their own ideas of how they are to be dressed, especially when it comes to a move of the Spirit. They decide. They do not look to the Ruach for wisdom. Based on bad experiences, real or imagined, many don't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit. However, we must have the help of the Ruach if we are ever to be, hope to be the bride of the Messiah of Israel. We do not want to displease our king. We do not want to be improperly dressed, nor be dismissed to the outer darkness. Instead, we want to be a beautifully arrayed bride. And this will require that we seek advice from the king's helper. Wisdom dictates that we must ask him to clothe us from on high. In Messiah Yeshua's wedding parable, the king asked the man without wedding garments, "Friend, how did you get here without wedding clothes?" When asked the question, the man was speechless. While we await our coming bridegroom, there will be some who will trouble us and try to influence us to believe lies about our king. They will try to work their own mischief and tell us that our king is not Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh in the flesh, but that he is some lesser being. However, we know him, and we know that he is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, our Holy One, the Creator and our King. Amen? When these errant ones stand before him, they will then be speechless, their wagging tongue stilled in his eternal presence. They will also be speechless because they do not have proper testimony about him. With head knowledge alone, they know about the wedding time and the wedding place, but they have never met the bridegroom face to face. Such people have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They have not put on their Messiah. They are not arrayed in his white robes of righteousness. A day is coming when head knowledge about the king won't do it. You can study your Bible all you want, but there's a day coming when that ain't going to matter for nothing. A day is coming when all will have to be dressed in his freely given blood washed white linen. The only way to obtain those precious garments is through repentance, teshuvah. White robes are given without cost to those who have a truly repentant heart. Messiah Yeshua said of the Holy Spirit, behold, Luke 24:49, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed, endued, arrayed with power from on high. We need the power of the Spirit in this hour. We need him right now. We need to hear the voice of the Ruach as he whispers in our ear, this is the way, walk in it. We need to be able to speak the wisdom of the Ruach to our beleaguered Jewish brothers who live in the land. Most importantly, we must realize that our Father says, the good things happened to Israel in the last days will be done according to Isaiah and Zechariah, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. The Spirit, the Ruach. We must not resist a much-needed move of the Ruach because some of us have abused the idea in the past. People have used and abused the eternal truths of Torah, and we do not throw out its wisdom. And neither should we resist the true move of the Holy Spirit. To make it through the hard times of the end, we need to be clothed with power from on high. That's how you make it through the end. You don't make it through the end by going to some campground and saving up 10 years worth of C-rations, MREs. And when you see things happen, you're not to go leave, like some people are suggesting to you right now on YouTube. Yeah. You got to be clothed with power from on high, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And you're not to be a self-willed virgin who feel you know best. You don't know best. I don't care who you are, what you think you know, but you don't know best unless you have the Ruach HaKodesh in your life. We want to instead yield ourselves to the wisdom of the King's helper. Amen? So let us therefore beseech the Ruach HaKodesh to choose the proper wedding garments for us at this time. Surely he's going to choose only the best for you. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah, because that's what he wants for you. He wants you to live long and prosper.